Today, we will talk about Jesus, the Messiah, our hope. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, O God, and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you this morning, all to the glory of your name and to the joy of your people, in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus, the Messiah, our hope. Adventure is an advent, not adventure, but advent is the season of expectation, the season of waiting. And we are in anticipation of the birth of our Lord, the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ. And that's what we are waiting for. There are four Sundays involved in the Advent. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. And what are we doing? Waiting and hoping and trusting and believing that our Savior is on the way. And for most part, from what we have read, it's all about the Messiah, the Messiah, the Messiah. And I think it's now, from the account of what we read, genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, Matthew 1:1, and who is called the Messiah in verse 16, from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah. And now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place this way. That's in verse 18. And so the question now is, what does the term Messiah mean? Were there other messiahs? How was Jesus identified as the promised, the prophesied Messiah? Did he meet the expectations of being the Messiah? These things are the things that we're going to talk about this morning, so that when you are talking about Jesus, the Messiah, you know what you're talking about, or you are talking about Jesus, the Christ, you know what you're talking about. So the term Messiah comes from the Hebrew word meshech. Meshech. And meaning to anoint. We will see that in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, to anoint appeared 39 times. The Hebrew word for the anointed or an anointed one is Messiah. And later down the line, the Greeks interpreted or translated Messiah to mean Christ. The next question is, did we have other messiahs? Yes, of course. By no means, Jesus was not the only Messiah. Priests were anointed to lead in the sanctuary, to lead in the temple, so they could be considered Messiah, since Messiah means anointed one. So also our kings, for example, Aaron and his sons, they were also anointed. All this you will find in Exodus and all that, where Aaron was anointed. So he was an anointed one. He was a Messiah. And also kings like David, kings like Saul were also anointed, so they could be considered Messiah. So since all these people were considered Messiah, let's look at the Jewish expectations of the Messiah. In 2 Samuel, God promised the permanence of Davidic line. The Jewish people have been so expecting that someone from the lineage of David will emerge to do something. And what was that something? To deliver God's people. It was down the line that these people started expecting a Messiah that will come and deliver them from bondage. Many kings and kingdoms were molesting the Israelites, and so they were expecting a Messiah from the lineage of David to deliver them and to liberate them. Evidence of this will be found in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 6, and I read, "When they came together, they asked him," and that him was Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" So they had this notion that came later for someone to fight for them and deliver them permanently from people harassing them. But did Jesus fulfill the original messianic expectations? We're going to see. Since we had other messiahs, we had other kings who were anointed, we had other prophets like Elisha, who was also anointed, and so on and so forth. What about Jesus? Why are we so talking about Jesus the Messiah? Why are we not talking about David the Messiah? Why are we not talking about Solomon the Messiah? Because they were all anointed. And sometimes if we say Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ, the Christ, is that Jesus' surname or last name? Or does it mean something else? We're going to find out. Jesus was called the Messiah to fulfill the expectations, and we're going to see if he really did. Remember that there was no discussion of a dying Messiah. There was no discussion whatsoever. But later in life, Jesus showed up and started talking about, "I will die, I will rise, and then I will deliver the people." And so we'll see. So Jesus started telling his followers, the Messiah will come. God has anointed me to preach the good news. Yeah. So Jesus was referring to himself as the Messiah, but he was also telling his followers that he was going to die. So, Matthew and Luke genealogy, let's look at this. When the prophecy came, it was like the David's line will produce a Messiah. If we look at Matthew and Luke's genealogies, notice that they showed clearly this Davidic lineage as Jesus, the Messiah, could be traced to David through Joseph. And people were asking, but it wasn't truly from his loins. And some people argue, but he adopted him. Why? Because there was no human being involved in giving birth to him. But you also notice that the lineage of David went through Mary herself. Through Joseph, since he was by the Holy Spirit, and Joseph was betrothed to Mary. And then the lineage of Mary connected to the Davidic line. And so he fulfilled the genealogy of David. Also, they talked about a throne. This Messiah is going to be a throned person. Remember that Jesus was the King of the Jews. And you remember when Pilate says, "Jesus, the King of the Jews." No, why are you putting the King of the Jews? Why don't you remove the King of the Jews? But that's exactly, it was a prophecy fulfilled. And the King of the Jews, unfortunately, his throne was the cross. His crown was of thorn. So he fulfilled this throne-like king in a different way. In the way of the cross, that was a throne for him. In the way of the crown, that was a crown of thorn. also the prophecy that this person will be a sin offering. The person will offer something, offering to release the people. But you remember that in those days, they used animal as offering. They also used the blood of animals as offering. Jesus fulfilled it, making himself the animal, making his body the animal, making his own blood. Instead of the blood of animals, he used his own blood. He fulfilled that one. Also, Deuteronomy 18, 7 to 18 says, "Then the Lord replied to me, 'I will raise up for them a prophet like you among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command.'" And so we fulfilled the king anointed. He fulfilled the prophet anointed. He fulfilled the priest, being the priest himself, offering himself as a sacrifice. And not just that, the prophet will live forever and ever. The Messiah will live forever and ever. Notice that the whole rest of the prophets, the whole rest of the kings, all died. The reason, because they didn't have power over death. But Jesus died. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus lives forever. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, if any other thing does not hold, the resurrection of Jesus Christ proved him to live forever and ever. According to the promise of the Lord to David, that your lineage will be forever and ever. The rest of the messiahs all died, but Jesus lives. And in fact, Jesus lives in your heart to date. And someday Jesus Christ will come and take you and me, and we're going to be with him forever and ever. And so that fulfills the fact and proves the fact that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Messiah, the Christ. So it's a proven fact that Jesus said in John 20:21 has this: "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." And therefore, Christians like you and me accept, believe that this Jesus is a different Messiah, the Messiah, not just a Messiah, but the Messiah that lives forever and ever. And so, this Advent, we are looking forward to the birth of the Messiah, the birth of the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. So Jesus was born, and it says in Isaiah, "For unto us a son, a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. "Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." So the one that you are expecting is the Christ. It's not just his last name. He is the expected one. He fulfilled everything that was said about the Messiah that will live forever, about the Messiah that will deliver his people from their sins and give them eternal life. And so when Jesus Christ was born and he became an adult, he gathered a few people and they started going around. Even the people that he gathered started to confess that this was the Messiah. For example, John 1:41, he, Andrew, I put it in quotes, he first finds his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah, who is the Christ." Also, you all remember the Samaritan woman at the well? The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah comes, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And remember that Jesus said, "The person that you are talking to is he. I am that one." When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples something, and I quote, "Who do people say that I am?" So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so this morning, who do you say that this Christ that we are waiting for, just see all the decorations, who do you say that Jesus is? For real, the Christ to you? The Messiah to you? So we are expecting Jesus. Jesus himself even said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to be this, to be this, to be this." Jesus himself confessed with his mouth that he was the Messiah. Even John said, "Oh, I am not he. The one that is coming is greater. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes." So who is Jesus Christ to you? I mean, see, I came in, everyone was so joyful, waiting, I mean, just planning and just doing stuff. So now in Advent, we are expecting, we are waiting, we are preparing, and so many things. And some of the preparations that we have, the youths will do something very soon. We are doing the, you know, hanging of the greens. We will do the lightning of the Christmas tree. The youths will perform. We are expecting something. But for sure, do you know this person you are so exuberant about? You are so planning about? He wants us to know him today, if we don't. So as we wait, we have to really know him personally. I lay so much emphasis on this. The reason is that if you don't know him, I'm telling you the truth, the gospel truth, you are wasting your time, honestly. So while we wait for him, you know him. While we wait for him, we are joyful, we are praying, we are expecting, we are telling other people our Savior is going to come. We are shopping. We are sending gifts. That's awesome. These are the things that we need to be doing, but especially knowing him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Does it excite you? It excites me. I wake up in the morning, whatever that happens, if I die today, I'm going to heaven. It excites me. Does it really excite you? It should excite you, because our Savior is on the way. Very soon, We're going to celebrate his birth, be joyful, tell other people about it, and he will love you forever, and he already does. Amen.